Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Ryan Scholl.
And this is Deeks.ai, where we'll navigate the jagged frontier of the AI landscape through real-world, engaging user stories. Now, for this first episode, it's just Ryan and I as we discuss our history and experience utilizing a variety of AI tools. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's begin.
How did you first get interested in AI?
So mine was pretty straightforward. My girlfriend randomly started working with AI utilizing image generation tools. I saw what she was doing, and from there I kind of was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. And I went down the never-ending bottomless rabbit hole of AI and slowly started introducing it into my projects in a variety of different ways. Image generation, coding, videography stuff, you name it. So pretty straightforward. No particular project sticks out to me for like what I used it for at the beginning. It was just kind of a real quick, fast, deep dive into a variety of different AI tools for a bunch of different projects.
So you jumped right in.
Yes. Yes, I did. How about for yourself?
I was accidentally pulled in. Okay. I was just before the big AI hype in early 2022, I was put on a project for an internal AI chatbot. I didn't really know what artificial intelligence was, and even on this project, I was lost. I was really confused. I didn't understand it. Ultimately, the project didn't go through, but I just didn't have a concept. And then later that year, I went to a seminar on ChatGPT when that exploded in popularity, and my eyes were opened. And I was like, what is this cool tool? So I started experimenting, just randomly playing with it, and started listening to some podcasts and watching YouTube videos. And I went a little more slowly into the water, but then all of a sudden I dove off the cliff and I jumped in and just started playing with it.
It really did feel like a switch was flipped at some point, and everyone I knew to some degree, or at least a lot of people that I knew, suddenly were talking about AI. Like I was really on the periphery or what have you of it, where kind of kept my eye on it a little bit, but didn't follow it. And then all of a sudden, like I said, when my girlfriend, who's a biologist, she's not in tech at all, suddenly is messing with AI, I kind of like stopped and I was like, wow, this is really like taking off. Like she was talking to me about it. My friend who's going to school to become an electrician, he started talking to me about it a little bit. I come to Wake Forest and then a bunch of people here are talking about it. So it's so funny. It really did seem like this explosion happened of interest in, you know, quote unquote AI.
And that's an important point because it transcended from the technical people.
Yes.
Into, let's just say, the everyday people. You didn't need to have a technical degree to use this new AI phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. No, in the bigger it's gotten in the few years, like since, you know, around that time that you were talking about, what you said, 2022, people of all different backgrounds that I know are using it in a variety of ways. Like I said, my friend who is just now early on in becoming an electrician, he was using it to help study for the test and prepare tools and documents to help him study key terms and all that. I used it to create study documents for a friend who was looking to become a developer. So helping him piece together some materials to help him learn. And then I have even people who just use it for fun, you know, a friend who uses it for tabletop gamings to put together campaigns and create characters and stuff. So like all different backgrounds that I never would have guessed are using it.
So those people really showed you the way and drug you along, and then you kind of adopted it for yourself.
So for some of them, for instance, my friend who uses it for the tabletop gaming, I actually introduced him to it because he was talking to me about it, and you know, he's a friend, so I let him talk to me about Dungeons and Dragons or whatever else he wants to talk about. And he was just like saying like, oh, I wish I had the time to create all these characters and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, have AI help you with it. And I remember being on the phone with him as he was trying to create a character that was a reference to something from a movie or something. And it came up with a character, wrote the background. I guess it gave it like moves and details that were relevant to that character from the game or movie or whatever he was like referencing. And he was just like, literally like, oh my God, this is insane. And he's been using it ever since. But yeah, I would say there were some people I've introduced to it. And then there were other people who kind of introduced it to me, but also apart from that, as I saw how they were using it, really helped me get a grasp for what it really was because AI was just such a broad term that I was hearing.
And it's not just a tool that you go to your office, sit at your desk and use. You're yes. talking about people using it for everyday tasks yes. in life.
Absolutely.
So non-work related stuff and, you know, things you can do at home or on the go.
Yes, absolutely.
I know we've talked in the past, both of us do a lot of DIY stuff.
Yep.
You know, from multimedia to woodworking to yep. tinkering.
Yep.
You can create tutorials with anything. Look up information and you can have the AI explain it to you in terms you understand. So you don't have to be an expert in any field anymore. You know, with all apologies to your friend, the electrician, you know, I'm not recommending anybody, you know, go out to ChatGPT and do electrical work by AI, but you can have it explain electricity to you
yeah.
in terms that you'd understand.
No, it's very, very, very true. There's, like you said, as a huge fan of DIY, especially as a homeowner where you pretty much have to be one, it's great for me to take information or even like just talk with it about some things that I kind of have a grasp for and have it boil it down to simple points for me. That's how I learn the best. So a specific example was I was interested in learning to like paint, you know, sanding, priming, all that. I have a rough idea for it or about it, but I didn't know the exact order, what kind of sandpaper to get, what have you. I went and spoke to an AI model and I was like, all right, this is what I understand. I'm looking to do this. Can you just break it down to the simplest terms? And it's awesome when it's like, all right, first do this, then get sand, 200 grit or 300 grit. Stuff like that is, that's what I use it weekly for that. It's amazing.
So you're talking about using it for a tutor in any kind of field, whether it's learning something academic or learning yeah. some kind of life skill. And if you expand on that, you can have it explain any kind of topic, whether it's yes. something simple or something complex, and you can explain it at whatever level you want. And an AI does not get tired or annoyed or mad, so you can True. Have it explain over and over and over again mm-hmm. in terms you'd understand. So if there are complex topics, let's say artificial intelligence, that just you can't get through your head, you don't understand. Yeah. You could ask it to make an analogy, say, explain this AI topic like it was a basketball team. And you yeah. it'll make that leap and explain in terms you can understand, where I think analogies are very powerful for explanation because they relate a concept to something that you are already familiar with, yeah. where potentially a professor can't do that or a friend can't do that. And you can keep asking it over and over and over again until you understand.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That is absolutely a useful way to use it. And it's like those are the type of things with AI that I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with it or maybe apprehensive about it, that I find that once they start dipping their toes or once you share how you use it with them, it kind of can open up their eyes quite a bit and in some instances make them a bit more comfortable, because I think there's a lot of people where it's like they say, I was going to work on, a project to help a friend learn programming, how I spoke about earlier. And I feel like they kind of view it as you sit down and you say, hey, AI, make a learning project for my friend who's learning programming. And then it just creates everything for you. You hand it off to them. But it's really not. It's not like that. I find that there's actually there's actually an artistry to using AI, and depending on what tool you're using, an artistry in how to get the most out of it for what you're doing. So that was another intriguing thing about it as well, because like we said, even if it was for something, you know, a little bit more mundane, you know, something like learning how to sand or something like that, or paint, there's more to it than just like, hey, give me this info and then, you know, the job's done, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And while we're focusing on learning, we can talk about personalized learning.
Yes.
So if you want to sand or paint something, you can describe the exact type of job you're doing rather than maybe a generic book or web page, which will tell you basic techniques.
Yes.
And if you transfer that personalized learning to any kind of educational experience, whether we're talking about higher education or I'll dive into, I have elementary school children.
Mm-hmm.
I can have it explain to me or even to them concepts in terms that they'd understand.
Yeah, so that's huge.
They may deal with their teacher who has a class of 20 third graders or fourth graders, and that's kind of hard to connect with each student. Well, now my children can go and talk to the AI and really understand the concept in terms they can understand.
Yeah.
And then as a parent, I don't have to be on that level because I can use the AI to check their homework.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've used AI and taken a picture of their worksheets and said, solve this for me. I don't have to remember long division anymore. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's kind of fun. And I can help make study guides for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to understand everything or use all my time developing a worksheet for 3-digit multiplication.
Yes.
I can work with AI to do that. And it gives personalized learning where my children may be struggling on this one little area, and I can describe that, and AI can make a tailored plan or tailored questions to the area my kids are struggling.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's like, so, and also apart from breaking it, you know, helping you break it down, the great thing is you could say, hey, can you give me 5 more exercises like this so they can keep practicing?
Exactly.
And I've used it in a very similar way myself when like learning new languages, where I end up at this point where it's like, I'm almost there. I'm almost to like the finish line. I'm just struggling a little bit with this. Here's this piece of code that I'm half understanding. Can you really break it down step by step and explain what each part is doing? And so like, yeah, just like your children, it's like I've done the same thing with various degrees of understanding. So either I'm really struggling or I'm almost there. And it's so awesome for that. And then, like I said, once you think you're getting the grasp for it, it's like, all right, well, can you give me a couple more exercises to really help hammer it home and see if I fully grasp it?
You can customize anything.
Yeah.
Tailored to exactly what you need.
Yes. And that's very true. And then one other thing that I really appreciate is, especially when looking to learn, is there's so many resources out there now. It's nice to kind of just have this like singular point to go to, because there's so many rabbit holes you can go down for anything these days, whether it's, you know, painting, like I said, or if you're looking for a workout plan or smoking meats, whatever it may be, I find that these days you'll find something where it's like, why you should do A. And then their next article is why you should absolutely not do A. And it's
clickbait.
That can get frustrating. So to just kind of weed out all that other stuff, it's awesome.
So I think that really talks about how we use it in general life, and we can use it for just about anything now, can increase our knowledge and learning. Let's transition a little bit to focus on job-related tasks.
Absolutely.
Maybe how we more specifically use it to increase our productivity or augment our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of us would really say that AI is replacing us, but more augment what we do and make us more productive.
It's helped me be able to do more of the stuff that I really like. It helps me more quickly get done with some of the early mundane parts of a job. I mean, I really love what I do anyway, but it's opened up the door to so many more things. But how about yourself, since you were I think you should go first, since you definitely were an earlier adopter of AI than I was.
So I use it a lot as a partner, not to replace a coworker or even myself, but more as a really helpful partner sitting next to me. I often use it as a sounding board for ideas. I do brainstorming.
Absolutely.
And say, what do you think about this? Or give me 10 ideas. And as I alluded to before, it doesn't get tired or frustrated. Mm-hmm. If I don't like those 10 ideas, I say, give me 10 more. And it keeps going and I can focus it. So I use it a lot in that sense to really be creative and think outside the box.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that I think can really help beyond just sitting down, staring at a screen, or if you get the writer's block or can't think of ideas, well, their AI can help you unlock certain things.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the main benefits, and that's probably where I go to primarily for a lot of my starting points.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of that. Another aspect of that that I really appreciate is, you know, there's some people you give feedback or you request feedback from sometimes, where some people will just tell you what they don't like about something. Mm-hmm. And that's that. I like that. Even if it's, you know, let's just say hypothetically, you give it a good idea. I would say 99 out of 100 times, it'll still give you ways that you can step it up and make it even better. And absolutely, like you said, if you're suffering from like some kind of writer's block or getting started at all, it's nice to just throw paint at the wall and it helps get the wheels spinning. I use it for that all the time.
And then when you have the ideas, you run them back through the AI to get, get that feedback.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Positive feedback and that negative feedback. And a story I think I was telling you another time, you can create your own focus group.
Yeah.
I did one exercise where I created a focus group of five people. I gave it five different personas. And I said, please evaluate this concept, this idea, with five different people and give me their feedback. And it was fantastic that the AI was able to be a focus group. I did not have to pull five different people in with varying opinions.
Yeah.
I just put that into the chat and it helped elevate my task.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the key point too that I think can be like overlooked is that's not to say that you won't then get other actual people's feedback now. It's just that you can now give them a better starting point to then get
with
their
a better
feedback.
Product. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not wasting people's time early
absolutely.
On with those, as you put, those mundane tasks.
Yes, absolutely. So you can either give them something of better quality or something I specifically like about using AI. Further along in the process to where now, like you said, saving them time and you're getting to that finish line, at least from what I find, faster and more easily, like with a project. Or if, like you touched on before, you were working on something that didn't go anywhere, you find out it's not worth pursuing way faster, which is just as valuable because you're not sinking 40 or 80 or however many, you know, hours into a project just to be like, hey, you know what? Never mind. We're not going to pursue this.
Let's talk a little bit about coding.
Sure.
Now, you are a high level coder. It's something that you do very frequently. You do it a lot for your job. many, many, many years ago, we're not going to do the math. I graduated with a degree that had a large portion of coding. I haven't touched code in many years, but when I need to do small bits of coding, I don't have to break out my old textbooks or go to Professor Google and ask, how do I code, you know, an if-then statement or how do I do a bubble sort? I can actually use one of the chats as a coding partner. And I've done things with simple web pages and Google Apps scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can write in plain language. I can tell that, you know, the chat what I want in plain language and it spits out code. And then I can go help revise it. And I can put it and say, no, this doesn't work. And say, please fix this.
Yep.
I do that from a very beginner level and I'm not an expert. And that is something that anybody can do. Now, from your level, so I've described from a very beginner level, how would you use it at a more advanced level for coding?
So an obvious, easy instance is troubleshooting. That it's super useful for that. Sometimes there's just an issue that you're just having trouble figuring out, and it could be something as easy as a misplaced semicolon or a comma or whatever it may be. It's really useful to use it for that. So maybe you give it the code you're getting. If you can, obviously you want to have security number one in your mind when using it. But if you could give it the whole piece of code and say, it's giving me this error, it's really useful for that a lot of times. Again, security is a number one concern. You don't want to put any sensitive info in there. But apart from that, I like using it, I would say, in two main ways. One is to get something, just to get something off the ground and going. So if I'm working on something such as, I used to do a lot of creating email templates. It was really great for doing that, being like, hey, can you help me get started with an email template for a third party? I need, one column here, two rows here, et cetera.
Yeah.
And just getting started. And a lot of times, even if it was a little bit broken, it was faster to fix what it gave me what was broken than if I were to start from scratch. Getting a project started by getting the real early steps done that are pretty mundane, like, hey, can you get me started with these early aspects of a project? Can you just have it so when I do this, it does mm-hmm. that? Or also too, if I'm working with a language I haven't worked with in a while, I really like it for that. So I was recently working on a proof of concept, like prototype for an app, and I wanted to do something with an RSS feed. And in a couple minutes, I had it doing exactly what I wanted. Go through this RSS feed, parse this info, show me only this. And then I want, when you click on, the title, it does this. It was so nice to, like you said, not have to bust out the textbook or track down an old project I worked on and start over.
I can imagine that sticking with programming languages,
sure,
it might be a cool use case to translate from one language to another.
Absolutely.
I'm not even convinced the old programming languages that I learned still even exist. But if I go into the recesses of my brain, I could probably program in some of that. But I wouldn't know how to use some of the new languages.
Yeah.
So something where you could take some snippet of code that you had in one language and have it instantly convert it to another language, I could see being very useful.
Yeah. So working with code, it's very hit or miss to varying degrees. Sometimes it'll get it absolutely right. Sometimes it'll get it absolutely wrong. But a pretty cool thing that I did recently was I had worked on a plugin for WordPress that was just JavaScript pretty much. And so what I then did, because I realized that I needed to put it onto a platform that was utilizing like Composer, I was able to then totally have it change the way that plugin was built that was more in line with the standards for the project that I needed it for. Gave it the code that I was working with because there was nothing sensitive in there. Again, security, number one concern. Told it a bit about the platform that I was using, and it converted it into what I needed it to be, which was super, super awesome to not have to start from square one.
So in a former life, I was very technical, but now I consider mm-hmm. myself mostly a recovering technologist. And I've shifted away from the technical side, which, as we've talked about, can help me when I need to do some of sure. the more technical encoding. But now, things that I do in my daily professional life, I spend a lot of time writing and drafting, whether yeah. that's emails or summaries or project artifacts.
Yeah.
And where AI can be incredibly useful for that is starting a draft of a document, an email, a memo I need to write to somebody. So that I can feed it some information, it can start creating that draft, and then I can put my own spin on it from there.
Yeah.
I can get those important points. Or on the other side of that, I can start with my draft and I can polish it and target it towards a certain audience.
So yeah, that's
maybe
great.
A colleague that I'm very familiar with, it would be more conversational, But if I'm sending something to an outside person that I haven't worked with, or maybe somebody that needs to be more formalized, I could take that same message and put it in different terms, still with my own voice, but I can easily shift around the language or the information and target it specifically to each audience. I think that's also very powerful, how you can really, up your game with your writing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but there's sometimes I get emails from people that I just don't understand. Like, I don't know, or I'm worried I'm misinterpreting it. Mm-hmm. So I've used that where I put in the email I've received, and I'll be like, I think they're saying this and requesting this. Do I have that right? So, like I said, I feel kind of embarrassed saying that, but I've absolutely done that before.
That's a great use case. Another thing that I think is incredibly powerful, and we've discussed this before, and there are plenty of tools. One of my favorite ones to use for something like this is NotebookLM, but summarizing lengthy and even complex information.
Absolutely.
That you can take emails or PDFs or videos or audio files that could be long or just maybe a little bit droll in their topics, and you can, whatever your AI tool of choice is, use it to summarize it in any way you would like. You could do bullet points. You can make audio overviews such as podcasts. Yep. You can do, you can say, summarize this in two paragraphs for me, build an executive summary. So that, I think, is one of the most powerful uses and use cases of these new AI tools, is to synthesize and summarize that information in terms that you or anybody can understand. And that's something that I can definitely say I do on a daily basis.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's very useful for trimming the fat, is how I usually put it, because on that same note, you know, a lot of times now, when you're looking for information, maybe it's something very, you know, mundane, like you're trying to figure out a good lasagna recipe. You then get to that article, and it will give you a literal, like, five paragraph essay about, like, lasagna originated in blah blah blah, and it's like, I just want to know how much sauce I need. And so, like, it's great for that, just getting you the information that you want,
and you can have a conversation with that. Let's stick on lasagna, because listen, I'm an expert. I have a world class lasagna recipe that I've developed myself. But if I gave you that recipe, you might not have all the ingredients, and you can have a conversation and say, "What can I substitute for this?" Or if I'm only having this recipe, you know, change the quantities for me. Or, okay, that's a little too much garlic. That guy is a little crazy. Yeah. You know, if I change the garlic, you know, what else needs to change in here?
Yeah. Or is there any low-carb substitute or something like that?
And you can continue that conversation back and forth.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I feel like the, at least in that terms with AI, it's like coming along at a great time when you're seeing a lot of information just get bloated on the internet, like they're just the general, like, search engines. So yeah, getting right to that point, or getting some information and being able to tailor it to your needs or your preferences is again, another really great, useful way that, like, I've incorporated it into personal and, you know, work-related projects.
Yeah, and with all that information out there, where you get 10 different emails on a subject, or a company publishes their latest white paper, and then three other companies follow through, and they're each 50 pages long. If you want to take all that information together, rather than spending an entire day reading this thing, these fantastic materials and all this information, you can pull it all together, synthesize it, and produce something that you can get the high quality output and use your time probably more wisely by summarizing all that.
And it's also, no matter what it is that you're working on, what I find is it's also easy to continue tailor-making to your needs. So there's some work projects where I'm, you know, if I'm working on something and I can go back to it and say, hey, you know what, now I need it to do this. Or a personal use example is I started doing a specific meal plan a few weeks ago. And then I was finding like, hey, I had this meal planned at 3, but it was way too close to dinner. What if I swap it here and then do this, and it totally recustomized like the meal plan that I worked with it on. And it's like, yeah, if you do that, it'll change this protein intake and then this, that'll work out better. You're like, you know, that's a personal example, but there's work ones too.
Absolutely.
Where it's just like, just being able to go in and very easily, you know, change the blueprint of what you're doing is so awesome.
So I want to transition a little bit.
Sure.
Into advice for people getting started with AI, but I'm going to take a thread that you just said.
Sure.
One of my early pieces of advice is for people to start playing with it and experimenting with it.
Absolutely.
And use it for something that you're familiar with or resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what you just said, meal planning. Don't go in and try to do your highest value, most complex work task you do.
Absolutely.
Do it for something simple or something that really engages with you, something that maybe you enjoy doing, and test it out, play with it. So the meal planning example was perfect because it's something you might do previously, writing down, okay, this is what I'm doing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on these days, and this is how I'm going to integrate this protein. But now you're doing that same task, but using the AI as a partner helping you with that. So my advice would be just try things. Start small, try things, but try things you're already familiar with to see what that output is.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. I guess a way I could boil it down a little bit further is use it for something low stakes or fun. Mm-hmm. Just something where it doesn't matter if it gives you exactly what you need or not. Just dip your toes in it and just have some fun with it. And that's how it started for me. Like I said, I started with an image generator, just having some fun making goofy images. And then I just explored the landscape a little bit more. And then it slowly worked its way into, you know, my workflow. That wasn't my intent. Starting out, I wasn't looking to have it replace anything that I did. I used it to kind of enhance what I did. And a lot of times I'm just, you know, using it for fun now too. I would say I use it just as much with just little personal, you know, fun projects as I do as part of my work workflow.
So for somebody just getting started, let's throw out some names of tools. What are your top two or three tools you would say to play with?
I would say that if you pick any image generator, that find one that you like. I personally have had the best experience in like Midjourney, mm-hmm. The best. I feel like I get the best, most consistent results with that. I would say ChatGPT as well, or any AI. I think Chat would be great. You know, Gemini I think is another one. Gemini would be a good one to toy around with as well. And just give it a try. Just mess with it and have some fun.
I agree. I think starting point would be one of the chat tools. There are a couple real popular ones, Gemini and, mm-hmm. you know, ChatGPT has the brand awareness. You could look into Claude or Llama as well. Yeah. And in image generation, that's fun for people.
Oh, yeah.
Google has some great models, ImageFX, DALL-E by ChatGPT. Or if you want to go really big, go to Midjourney. That's fun.
Yeah.
The other one I would highly recommend is NotebookLM. That is an incredibly powerful tool to summarize information and you can do research. It's quite simple, but very powerful. So those are the ones I'd recommend people just playing around with. As you said, start small.
Yeah.
Just have a conversation with it. Just see the flow. See how you like it. And then from there, you'll figure things out. Figure out, ooh, I could ask it this, or I could use it for this. Start small. Play with it. Use it for something you may already know the output, so you can evaluate it. and then start expanding. What other final thoughts do you have on this initial conversation?
I would say that with AI in general, I still see it being talked about very vaguely and a bit with quite a bit of apprehension involved. And I would say whether you're interested in AI or not, I think if give it a try, toy around with something, and whether it gets you interested or not, I think at least it'll help like with some concerns that you may have about AI, and it'll ease that up to where you're not like, okay, yeah, there's not these robots waiting in the wings to, you know, put us in cells and start doing our work for us. How about yourself?
I want to echo a lot of those thoughts. If the robot overlords are listening, though, yes, we respect you.
Always thank your AI check.
Thank you. Just start playing around with it.
Yeah.
Just start learning. Don't get caught up in all the hype.
Yes.
There is credible information overload drinking from the fire hose. Don't get caught up in the hype. Don't pay attention to what model just updated this week or all the industry news or all the crazy billions of dollars in money valuations for these companies.
Mm-hmm.
Start small.
Yeah.
Remember, the AI is a very vague term.
Yeah.
And they're just more tools in your toolbox.
Yeah.
Just play with it now, learn, and have conversations with people. But ultimately, think of it as a partner. Think about how it can augment your work life and your daily life and expand your abilities.
Thank you for listening to the Deeks.ai podcast, where Wake Forest innovators unpack the real-world magic of artificial intelligence through candid conversation. Please continue to join us as we explore how AI is transforming work across campus, one fascinating story at a time, and look to discover the human side of technological innovation.